$100 billion.
Yeah.
I just want you to sit with that number for a second. 100 billion.
It's hard to even picture.
Right. It's a number that feels abstract, almost imaginary. I mean, you hear numbers like that thrown around for national GDPs or maybe the total cost of a decade-long military campaign.
Not for a single tech project.
Exactly. Not for a single project. But we aren't talking about a country, and we aren't talking about a war. Well, maybe a different kind of war. We are talking about a single infrastructure project being planned by Microsoft and OpenAI.
A single facility, effectively.
Yeah, a single facility. And when I first saw the sources for our deep dive today, I honestly thought it was a typo.
You thought it was $10 billion.
I thought, okay, surely they mean $10 billion, which, let's be real, $10 billion is still a monstrous amount of money.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's within the realm of sanity for a tech giant. But no, $100 billion.
It creates this sort of cognitive dissonance, doesn't it?
It really does.
Because we're so used to tech announcements being about, you know, software releases,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a slightly thinner smartphone.
Right, an app update.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this project, to put that $100 billion into perspective for you, that is roughly 100 times the cost of building the largest, most advanced data centers currently in existence.
100 times bigger.
In terms of cost, yes. It completely breaks the scale of what we think of as computing.
Yeah.
If you look at the history of computing, we've generally seen these incremental jumps. This is not incremental. It's a different species of project entirely. They're calling it Stargate.
Stargate. Which, let's be honest, is a pretty evocative name.
It is.
It sounds less like a server farm and more like a sci-fi plot device, right? Like something that opens a wormhole to another dimension.
And honestly, that's not a terrible analogy for what they're trying to do here.
Really?
Yeah, the documentation we're looking at describes this not just as a data center upgrade, but as the construction of a, and I quote, computational fortress.
Wow.
And that word, fortress, it really stuck with me.
Sounds defensive.
It is defensive.
Wow.
And offensive.
Right.
I mean, we are moving past the era of software wars.
Where the battle was just about who had the cleverest app.
Exactly. Or the stickiest user interface.
Mm.
We're moving into an era of massive, heavy physical infrastructure. The thesis of the source material here is that the boundary between science fiction and reality is basically melting.
It's wild.
We are watching the construction of a unified synthetic brain. And the logistics of keeping that brain alive are just staggering.
So that's our mission today. We are going to unpack this absolute beast. We need to figure out how you even spend $100 billion on a computer.
It's not easy.
And why this thing is going to suck up enough electricity to power a medium-sized nation. And this is the part that sounds the craziest to me. Why Microsoft thinks the only way to power it is to actually become a nuclear power.
It sounds hyperbolic right now, but I promise by the end of this deep dive, you'll see it's actually the only logical move they have left.
The only move.
Yeah. This is phase five of a long-term infrastructure evolution.
Okay, so let's start with the money. The $100 billion gamble. You mentioned this is 100 times the cost of a traditional data center. I have to ask the obvious question here.
Is it just inflation?
Yeah. Are they gold plating the server racks? Like, where does that literal mountain of cash actually go?
It's not inflation. It's density and it's physics. You really have to understand the ambition here to get the price tag. Stargate isn't designed to just host a bunch of separate servers running different websites.
Right.
It is intended to host millions of AI chips.
Millions.
Millions. But here is the catch. If you just have a million chips in a giant warehouse and they're all working on different things, that's relatively easy. That's basically what the cloud is today.
Just a bunch of isolated computers in the same room.
Exactly. But Stargate is trying to link those millions of chips together to act as a single system, a single brain.
Oh, so they all need to talk to each other
simultaneously. Yes. And this is where the engineering nightmare begins. When you aggregate millions of GPUs in a single location and try to make them share data instantly, you run into physical laws that start fighting against you.
What do you mean? Like literal physics?
Literal physics. The engineering analysis explicitly mentions that moving data between that many chips becomes a physical impossibility using traditional cabling and networking.
Why is it impossible, though? Is it just the sheer volume of the data?
It's the latency. It's the speed of light.
The speed of light.
Yeah. Think about it. If chip A is on one side of this massive fortress and chip B is a mile away on the other side, The time it takes for a signal to physically travel that distance, even at the speed of light, is too long for the calculation to be efficient.
So the brain starts to stutter.
Exactly. It falls out of sync.
Yeah.
So a massive chunk of that 100 billion is going to what they call interconnect.
Interconnects.
Right. Think of it like a traffic system. If you have a city of a million people, which is your chips, and they all need to meet in the town square at the exact same millisecond, your standard two-lane roads aren't going to cut it.
You just have the world's worst traffic jam.
Right. You need a superhighway system that basically defies what we currently think is possible. We're talking ultra-high-speed fiber optics, completely novel switching architectures.
Mm-hmm.
This is technology that barely exists yet.
So they're effectively trying to cheat physics.
They're trying to optimize it to the absolute razor's edge. And then once you solve the traffic problem, you have the heat problem.
Oh, right. I can only imagine. My laptop gets hot when I just have too many browser tabs open.
Now multiply that by 5 million.
Oh, man.
If you have millions of chips thinking at full capacity in a condensed, tight space, you are essentially generating the heat of a volcano inside a building.
You can't just put a big fan in the corner.
No, you can't just blow air on that. You need highly advanced liquid cooling systems. They're looking at immersion cooling, where the chips are literally bathed in special non-conductive fluids.
Just submerged in liquid.
Submerged. And that infrastructure, the specialized plumbing, the industrial pumps, the massive heat exchangers, that costs billions on its own.
It really reframes how I think about AI. Because, you know, I think we all have this mental image of AI as this ethereal cloud. It's floaty, it's invisible, it's just code.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, because what you're describing is heavy industry. It's steel, it's copper, it's fluid dynamics.
That is the key insight from the sources. Code is dead without silicon. For the last 10 years, Silicon Valley has been completely obsessed with the algorithm, the software.
Who can write the best code?
Right. But the analysis from the Tech and Command Center is brutal on this point. They say the winner of the AI race in 2028 won't be the one with the cleverest few lines of Python code.
Who will it be?
It will be the entity capable of building the heaviest, most expensive physical infrastructure on Earth.
Wow. So it's a hardware war.
It is a civilizational hardware war. If you can't build the fortress, you can't house the brain. It's that simple.
Okay, so let's assume they can build it. They pour the concrete, they install the millions of chips, they figure out the crazy fluid plumbing so the whole thing doesn't melt into slag. Now you have to turn it on.
Ah, yes.
The power button.
Which brings us to the next hurdle. And frankly, based on the sources, this seems even harder than the construction, the energy wall.
This is the reality check that is keeping engineers awake at night right now. Modern artificial intelligence is starving for electricity. It is a voracious eater.
The numbers in the report are just staggering. It mentions that training a model like GPT-5 consumes as much energy as thousands of households do in an entire year.
And that's just GPT-5. That is the current generation.
Right.
Stargate is designed for the future generations. GPT-6. GPT-7, the system that actually achieves that unified brain.
Yeah.
According to the estimates we have, Stargate will require at least 5 gigawatts of power to operate.
5 gigawatts. Okay, I have to make the reference. I knew you were going to.
I have to. In Back to the Future, Doc Brown needed 1.21 gigawatts to travel through time. And that was treated as this impossible, astronomical amount of energy that you could only get from a lightning bolt.
Right.
We're talking about nearly 4 times that amount, constantly, just to keep the lights on.
It's a fun comparison, but it actually really perfectly highlights how much the scale has shifted. 1.21 gigawatts was literal sci-fi fantasy in the 80s. Today, 5 gigawatts is just a baseline requirement for Microsoft.
Just table stakes.
Yes. To put that 5 gigawatts into real terms, that is roughly the power consumption of several large cities combined.
Wow.
Imagine taking the entire power grid of a major metropolitan area, everything running, the subways, the skyscrapers, the streetlights, the hospitals, the homes, and funneling all of that juice into a single building.
But can you even do that, like practically? Can Microsoft just call up the local utility company and say, hey, I need 5 gigawatts, please hook a cable up to our warehouse?
Absolutely not. And that is the wall. The current U.S. public power grid simply cannot provide that amount of electricity to a single geographic point.
Why not?
The transmission lines physically cannot handle the thermal load. They would melt.
Wait, they would actually melt?
Literally melt. The wires would overheat and fail. Or, at the very least, you would cause such massive voltage instability that you would black out the entire region. The grid is built like a spider web to distribute power to millions of small users.
A little bit here, a little bit there.
Right. It is not built to be a fire hose feeding one giant mouth.
So this seems like a hard stop. If the public grid can't supply the power, the project is dead in the water, right?
You would think so. But this is where the strategy shifts from just building a big computer to essentially becoming a sovereign power.
The nuclear pivot.
The nuclear pivot.
This is the part of the research that made me stop and actually reread the sentence. Microsoft isn't planning to fix the public grid. They are planning to escape it.
Precisely. They looked at the board and realized that relying on the public utility grid is a massive vulnerability. It's unreliable, it's heavily regulated, and it's physically insufficient. So they're aggressively hiring nuclear energy experts.
Nuclear experts?
Yeah.
For a software company?
Yes. Because the plan is to use small modular reactors, SMRs.
SMRs. So we aren't talking about those massive concrete cooling towers like the ones in The Simpsons.
No, no. Think much smaller. Think of them as nuclear batteries. These are factory-built compact reactors that can be transported on a truck to a site. The vision described in the sources is that the Stargate facility will have its own nuclear hearts.
Nuclear hearts.
A cluster of these SMRs located directly adjacent to the data center.
That is wild to picture. So you have the server farm on one side of the parking lot and a literal nuclear power plant on the other side.
Essentially, yes.
But why go to all that trouble? Is it just strictly about the sheer amount of power? Or is there something else driving this?
It's about the amount, sure. But more importantly, it's about independence. The report uses this specific term, silicon independence.
Okay.
Think about it from their perspective. If you are Microsoft and you are building the most important asset in the history of your company, maybe the most important asset in the history of technology, do you want to be at the mercy of the Texas power grid going down in a random snowstorm?
Definitely not. You'd want total control.
You want to be off the grid. By having their own nuclear power, they are immune to grid fluctuations. They are immune to rolling blackouts. But it goes even deeper than that. It frees them from the regulatory entanglement of the public utility commissions.
Oh, I see.
If the grid is a public road, they are building a private railway.
But this raises some massive questions for me. I mean, we're talking about a tech corporation operating private nuclear reactors. That is usually the strict domain of governments.
That is the geopolitical angle that makes this so fascinating. The expert analysis in our sources suggests that these data centers are becoming as strategically significant as military bases.
Nickel bases, they compare them to.
Right. If you have a facility that houses the world's most advanced synthetic intelligence, and it is powered by its own independent nuclear fuel supply, that isn't just a corporate office building anymore.
No.
That is a sovereign asset.
It sounds exactly like a nation state.
It's the rise of independent hardware empires. That's the phrase used. Microsoft isn't just buying power from the state. They are becoming a power. And if you follow that logic, the drive for total independence doesn't stop at the electricity. It goes all the way down to the microchip itself.
Yes. Let's talk about the Silicon War. Because right now, if you say the phrase AI chip, everyone immediately screams NVIDIA.
NVIDIA is the undisputed king. They are the landlord of the AI revolution right now. Everyone else is just renting space in their ecosystem.
But the source material describes Microsoft's current reliance on NVIDIA as financial and operational suicide.
Strong words, but accurate.
Suicide, though, that seems a bit harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, NVIDIA makes the best chips in the world, don't they? Why is it suicide to buy the best equipment?
Because of the leverage. If you are building a $100 billion fortress, you cannot afford to have the keys to the front door held by another company.
Ah.
Right now, if you want NVIDIA's top-tier H100 chips, you get in line. You wait 18 months behind Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, and you pay whatever price Jensen Huang decides to charge you.
You're a tenant in your own house.
Exactly. You have absolutely no control over your supply chain, your pricing structure, or your technical roadmap. If NVIDIA hiccups, Stargate fails. Microsoft simply cannot accept that level of risk. So they are fighting back.
Yeah.
They're building the Maia 100.
This is their custom homegrown chip.
Yes. And this is where we need to get just a little bit technical to understand why this matters so much. It's not just about saving a few bucks on hardware. It's about the architecture.
Mm-hmm.
The Maia 100 is designed to target a very specific bottleneck called the memory wall.
Okay, break that down for me. What is the memory wall?
Imagine you have a master chef. That chef is your processor. This chef is the fastest in the entire world, capable of chopping 1,000 onions a second.
Okay, fast chef.
But the ingredients are kept in a fridge all the way down the hall. So the chef spends 80% of their time just standing there, knife in hand, waiting for someone to bring them the onions.
The waiter's too slow.
The waiter is the memory bandwidth. In traditional computing, the processors have gotten so insanely fast that they are constantly waiting for data to arrive from the memory. The memory wall is that delay.
Got it.
NVIDIA's chips are general purpose. They're great at everything, kind of like a Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm.
But Microsoft is building a scalpel. The Maya chip is architected specifically to smash that memory wall for OpenAI's exact type of workloads.
So they're building a dedicated superhighway just for the waiters.
Exactly. They are maximizing the bandwidth so the chef never has to stop chopping. And because it's custom built for one specific job, it's also far more energy efficient. And this perfectly connects back to that nuclear strategy we were just talking about. It's all one giant play for vertical integration.
They want the whole stack.
The whole stack. They want to own the nuclear fuel that creates the electron. They want to own the power plant that sends the electron. They want to own the custom silicon that uses the electron. And they want to own the code that runs on the silicon.
From the atom to the algorithm.
That is the only path, according to the analysis, to achieving artificial general intelligence. AGI. You cannot get there if you are relying on rented hardware, rented power lines, and someone else's production schedule.
It really creates a divide, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels like the era of the scrappy startup disrupting AI might be closing. I mean, if the table stakes to play the game are $100 billion in a private nuclear reactor, two guys in a garage aren't going to be able to compete with that.
That is a crucial observation. The report literally calls this the Stargate era. And it warns that the era of playing around with average hardware is completely over.
There was that whole section about the system requirements.
Yeah.
It felt less like tech advice and more like a dire warning to the rest of the industry.
It is a warning. It's saying that if you are a smaller player or even a medium-sized enterprise, you need to look at what Microsoft is doing and realize that extreme stability is now the currency of the realm.
Right.
If Microsoft is building nuclear reactors just to ensure stability, what does that mean for you? It means you can't skimp on your foundational infrastructure.
So things like high-end cooling, premium power supplies, these aren't just flexes or luxuries anymore.
They are absolute necessities. Atom is the fuel of algorithm. That's the verdict they came to.
Yeah.
If your silicon melts because you bought a cheap fan, or if your system crashes because of dirty power coming from the wall, you are completely out of the game. Huh. We are entering an industrial phase of AI where reliability is absolutely everything.
It's intense. It really strips away the magic and reveals the massive grinding machinery underneath it all.
That's the most important takeaway for me, really. We need to stop thinking of AI as magic. It is an industry. It is a resource extraction industry. It consumes land, water, uranium, and silicon to produce intelligence.
So let's bring this all together, because we've covered a massive amount of ground today. We started with the sheer financial shock of the $100 billion price tag, a budget that literally rivals the Apollo moon program.
And we looked at the computational fortress, the idea that you need a facility so dense with compute that it defies standard physics, requiring completely new interconnects just to keep the synthetic brain coherent.
Which leads directly to the problem of feeding the beast. The energy wall, the 5 gigawatts that the public grid simply cannot provide without melting down.
Leading to the ultimate solution, the nuclear pivot, the move toward SMRs and complete energy sovereignty.
And finally, the Silicon War. Microsoft realizing that to be truly independent, they can't rely on NVIDIA. They need their own Maya chips to solve the memory wall and control their own destiny.
It's a complete ecosystem, a closed loop of power and intelligence.
The so what here feels huge for you listening. This isn't just standard tech news. This feels like a shift in how power, real, actual power, is organized in the world.
It is a shift of civilizational proportions. The source puts it pretty dramatically, but I think accurately. Stargate is the gateway. It represents a massive fork in the road for humanity.
What's the fork?
Either this project leads us to general intelligence, a breakthrough that fundamentally changes human history, or it effectively becomes a silicon black hole.
A black hole.
We could end up pouring our concrete, our capital, and our precious energy resources into this singular goal with no guarantee of the outcome.
A silicon black hole. That is a haunting image.
It is. We are betting the farm on this.
I want to leave you, our listeners, with a final thought to chew on. We've been talking about Microsoft as a company today, but what we actually described is an entity that builds its own physical infrastructure, generates its own nuclear power, mints its own currency in the form of compute, and is building an intelligence that might soon rival humans.
It checks a lot of the boxes for a nation state.
Exactly. In a world where tech companies become nuclear powers, totally independent of the public grid, independent of suppliers, and holding the keys to the most advanced intelligence on Earth, who actually holds the reins?
That's a great question.
Are we watching the creation of a new product line? Or are we watching the birth of a new superpower that doesn't appear on any map?
That is the ultimate question. When the infrastructure becomes this powerful, the line between corporation and sovereignty gets very, very blurry. And we are all living in the shadow of that fortress.
Something to think about the next time you ask an AI to write a polite email for you. It might be powered by a private nuclear reactor somewhere in the desert.
That's it for this deep dive into the Stargate strategy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone. Stay curious.